आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। केनेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राण प्रथम प्रैति युक्तः केनेषितां वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रं कौ देवो युनक्ति श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं मनसो मनो यत् वाचोह वाचं सौ प्राणस्य प्राणः चक्षुषश्चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीराः प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकादमृता भवन्ति न तत्र चक्षुर्गच्छति न वा गच्छति नो मनः न विद्मः न विजानीमः यथैतदनुशिष्यात् अन्यदेवत् विदितादथो अविदितादधि इति शुश्रुम पूर्वेषां येनस्तद्व्याचचक्षिरे यद्वाचानभ्युदितं येन वागभ्युद्यते तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते यन्मनसा न मनुते येनाहुर्मनोमतं तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते यच्चक्षुषा न पश्यति येन चक्षुंषि पश्यति तदेव ब्रह्मत्वं विद्धि नेदं यदिदमुपासते यच्चक्षुषा न पश्यति that which the eyes cannot see येन चक्षुंषि पश्यति but by which the eyes see the very simple example you think if you walk into a potter's shop, you know how many objects you see in that potter's shop? Made from clay, plate, cup, pan, you know, pot, whatever. Elephant, dog, they're all made from clay. So when you walk into the shop, you have a choice. Am I going to look at the different objects with size difference, name different, shape different, characteristics different? Am I going to look at those things? Or am I going to look at the one thing which all of them are made from. I have a choice to look at the variety or look at the one thing. What happens with the human mind is that he loves variety. Variety is the spice of life. Huh? That's what we say. He loves the variety and he loves to compare. Oh, this one looks better than this one. You know, the artist who made this one, I think he was a divine soul. He loves those type of things. So he immediately gets caught up with the variety and starts comparing, starts assessing his own likes and dislikes and all that sort of thing, analyzing, and he forgets the one thing. In the shop, in the potter's shop, it is easy to switch from the variety to the one. In the case of a Brahman, which makes up this world, to shift from this variety which we are seeing to the one, that is a little bit more difficult. In the potter's shop, it is more easy. You can switch to clay quickly. Forget all the varieties. This, even with clay, you can get yourself in a loop there. This is China clay. This is Indian clay. There also your mind can take you for a ride. So, even so, it is still easier there. But here, the problem is the eyes can see this variety, but the eyes are not capable of seeing the one thing from which the variety is made up of. Because the eyes also are part of the variety. See, our eyes also are made up from that one thing. So, therefore he says, the eyes cannot see it. But it is that thing which makes the eyes see. That switching from this worldly variety to the divine one thing is a little bit more difficult. And that requires that we make the mind absolutely quiet. And the seeing which is being spoken about here is not seeing as we see with these eyes. It is being. Seeing and being is one in Vedanta. When we say, I come to see the truth, it means I come to be one with the truth. It's not that we see like, see these words in English or the words in any language, we have to be very careful with them, because remember it says, na tatra chakshur gachati, na vak gachati. Speech also cannot reach there. Speech cannot explain about it or conceptualize it or any such thing. So words have their limitations. Words fall short. So when we say, I came to see the truth. Oh, see, I'll tell you another example to understand. When we say seeing truth, what is meant? See, I see this thing, right? That is a different type of seeing from when I explain something to you and you say, oh, I see. That is a different seeing or not? I see. So it is not the type of seeing like I see this or I see that. That is a different type of seeing. Here, seeing the truth is even a third type of seeing. So this is the first type, I see this. Then when I explain some concept, you say, oh, I see. That is a second type. And this seeing is even a third type. To see this truth means I come to be this truth. And then there is no I left to say, oh, I see. Because the I who was trying to see, he gets dissolved. Like the doll gets dissolved in the ocean. Now which doll is there to say, oh, I understand what the ocean is now. There is no doll to understand anything. You see? So these eyes really cannot see it. It makes the eyes see whatever it sees. Whatever the eyes see here, it is that thing behind which is making the eyes see. See, Gurudev gives a nice example, you know. A piece of wire, you know. So if you touch that piece of wire, nothing happens. Electrical wire, nothing happens. But if at one end you introduce a current in that wire, now you look at the wire, it looks same. prior to introducing the current, you look at the wire, it looks like that. When you introduce the current, it looks same. You don't see any change in that thing. But there's something now which has made the wire live. So when you touch it, you might not remain live. There's something in there which has really not brought about any visible change to that wire. But when you touch it, you know that there is some change. So all things in the universe has that current, as it were, behind them, which is making them shine, which is making them appear, which is making them, you know, look like what they look. That's some thing which you don't see. Which is, you know, when you look at the wire, you don't see any current there. But that thing is very difficult in that the eyes cannot see that. Just like the eyes cannot see that current passing. But that current makes the wire live. So you don't see the thing behind the eyes, but it makes the eyes see. It makes the eyes live. Like that. That thing is called as Brahman, the absolute reality. And the things which we are worshipping in this world, which we are seeing with our eyes, that thing is not Brahman. It means to say, whatever my eyes see, they are limited things, and Brahman is not limited. Brahman is the unlimited thing behind the whole universe, limitless universe. He's that one thing behind the whole limitless universe. And now, for all the other sense organs, and even the prana in the other verses, it is said, see. Now that will be page 92. Yachrotrena nashrinute. Yena shrotramidam shrutam. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi. Nedam yadidam upasate. See, it is behind the air, making the airs, behind the ears, making them hear. But that thing cannot be heard itself. It is making them hear. That thing is called as Brahman. Vidhi means understand that to be Brahman. That thing which is behind. And you know it is there by necessity. It has to, people ask, how you'll prove that it is there? You're not seeing it. None of these five senses could be in contact with it, right? So how you'll prove that Brahman is there? They look here. If you see light coming in front of the flashlight, if you see light in the front of the flashlight, that necessarily means that batteries are there, isn't it? Can you ever have light in front without batteries there? Not possible. So the eyes are able to function, the ears are able to function, all the senses functioning. So can they just function with no power behind? So the eternal power behind, insofar as we are concerned, is a matter of logical deduction. That if this one is there in front, there has to be something behind. It's a matter of logical deduction. But it is a necessary deduction. As a matter of fact, even if I ask the question, how do I know it is there? To ask that question, also some power must be behind. The power must be behind the mind to ask the question. Otherwise, the mind will just... See, from our ordinary experience, we know that if you find some, what Gurudev calls now, cause, some effect, there must be some cause. In a simpler language, he puts like that. Huh? If you find an effect, so some cause must be there. So that comes from our experience, that wherever there is an effect, there is a cause. So the effect of seeing, the effect of hearing, that is the effect. I can see, I can hear. There must be some cause behind. And then other question arises. And see, prana also is given. The same thing for the prana in the next verse. The question arises there that, and I mentioned it in one of the previous days. So then, do we have freedom of choice, or is the cause behind making everything happen? People ask that question all the time. Am I making things happen? Like, for example, when I turn my head. So did I turn my head? Was that a free choice? Or the cause, the supreme cause behind, made me turn? There's a very big question, huh? Like now I scratch. Did the supreme cause make me turn? I mean, after all, he's the supreme cause of the universe, which we are saying. But that seems to totally erase all freedom of choice, if he's the supreme cause of all things. Let me deal with this question as it has arisen, and we'll continue again. See, we hear all the time that whatever we see in the universe really is not the way it is. That we hear. And when we studied some more, the rishis tell us that this thing is because of delusion. We think it is like this, but really it is like that. We think it is a snake is there, but really it is a rope only. That is called delusion. It means, delusion means the fact of the matter is one thing, and what you think is something else. The simple definition of delusion, or simple explanation of delusion. Now, for example, I think I will die. The fact of the matter is I will not die. But I think I will die. Or, I think I am not connected to you. I am not connected with anybody. I mean, you are you and I am I. But the fact of the matter is something else. Look, we are all intimately connected, whether you know it or like it or whatever. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, you are connected to your worst enemy also. An intimately connected, not just any superficial connection. You better learn to live with it. But in our delusion, we think, no, I'm not connected to that fellow in any way, you know. We call delusion only. So fact is one, what you think is a different thing. So now, the scriptures go on telling us, if you look very carefully, you will see that we are totally deluded, all of us. And everything we think is really ulta. See this? Even science is telling, this thing is not solid, you know. It is 99.9999% space. Now science also, you ask these physicists and all. It is mostly space. Yet, I feel it is solid. Where is space? There is no space there. Maybe space here. Not here. So, science tells when we look closer, what appears to be in one way is really in some other way. So it shows that the entire species seem to be living in a delusion. We're not seeing things as they are. In the very same way we are deluded about all these things which we see in front of us. We think it is one way, when it can be in some totally different way. In that very same way, we are all deluded about this thing called freedom of choice. Why, if you can have delusion with what you see, why you cannot have delusion about what you think? We think that we have freedom of choice. But if we could have a cosmic delusion like this, why we cannot have a delusion about my freedom of choice? But the other thing is, see a simple thing. Huh? Yes, I agree with science. This wall is 99.999% space, right? This is what science is telling. But based on that scientific conclusion, would you foolishly try to walk through that wall? Is that a wise thing? I can walk through space, right? So they're telling this is mostly space. Then try to walk through. Not because that conclusion is there, Next morning, I get up. I say, okay, science says this is space. I'll walk through. We are actually caught in that, in this delusion as we are living, and we have to live with the rules of that delusion. Because this body also will be mostly space, just like the wall is mostly space. But what science is telling, when we look deeper, there we find out the truth. When you at this level, you are seeing something else. So you operate with the rules which you see at this level. You cannot simply suddenly, oh, I'm connected. See, I'm intimately connected with the lion. Therefore, I will go and pat the lion. Oh, yeah, nice lion. You are connected, but you don't suddenly go on the rules which you know, which you have found yourself in. You don't change them suddenly and go on pat the lion. It means you have to live within those rules. In the very same way, the rules now, or whatever you experience as freedom of choice, that also is a delusion, just like all the other delusions. But within the boundaries of those rules now, we act. So I feel that I have freedom of choice. With that feeling, though it may be a delusion, I use that feeling and I choose to read Upanishad rather than read some other thing. I use that same delusory feeling of choice to choose the things which will eventually take me out of the delusion. You understand? That is like in the dream. When I see the tiger coming, I don't say, okay, this is a dream me, and that is a dream tiger, and let the dream tiger eat me. It is okay. Nothing will happen to me. Anybody ever says in their dream? If you can say that in your dream, that means you are not dreaming. So in the dream, there's a dream tiger, there's a dream you. And also there's dream fear when you see the tiger, isn't it? One. See, dream also you have to think about, you know. One lady got up early morning and she gave her husband one slap. Taram! Then he said, what was that for? She said, I just dreamt that you left me and you went away with some other woman. She dreamt. He left and went away with some other woman. And so she got up and gave him. He said, hey, but you dreamt? She said, yes, if you can do that in my dream, what you will do in your dream? But you cannot transfer things from the dream world to this world. Dream world is dream world. And when you're there, you act according to the rules which are there. You certainly don't bring that one into this one. So you have found yourself having so many delusions. We are born into this world of delusion. And one of them, among all the others, is that I have freedom of choice. So just we use it appropriately and choose the right thing. I choose to come to this class. I choose to come to camp. I choose to read Upanishads. I choose to look at movies on Ramana Maharishi. Something like that, rather than some, what is it? These children are reading this book. Oh, Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Oh, bapre. So instead of that choice, choose something that will eventually take me out slowly from this delusion. Because the other thing might be a delusion as well, because the Upanishad studies is just a delusion like any other delusion, but it's a special type, means it's using a thorn to take out a thorn. It will eventually take me out from this delusion. it means to say within the whole body of delusions, there are some that are special. That is why in Tulsi Ramayana and in several places in the scriptures, in the Bhagavata also, Bhagavata Puran, you hear this phrase. There is Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. You heard those phrases? Both are Maya. But Avidya Maya takes us deeper and deeper and deeper into this delusion. And Vidya Maya, even though it is still part of Maya, it will slowly, slowly take me out of this Maya. But still both are Maya. But make the right choice with your illusory feeling of choice. That is the idea. So when next I have freedom of choice or not? The question is, the answer is, I do not have freedom of choice. I have a feeling that I have freedom of choice. Just like I have so many wrong feelings. As a matter of fact, all of our feelings are wrong in any case. We have so many feelings that, this thing is mine and that thing is mine and the other thing is mine. Huh? How many things we feel that it is mine? And this world is really wonderful, you know. Everything in the world is designed to increase those feelings rather than decrease. That's why you have to be so careful as a sadhak. Everything is designed to increase all the delusions rather than decrease the delusions. So sadhak, he has to swim against the tide, against the current. River is flowing like this. You have to swim. So careful you have to be. Bhagwan also has made it so nice. That is why Bhagwan gave all of you children. Because until children, you don't have the strong feeling of mine. But when children come, that feeling of mine becomes so strong. Strongest feeling of mamatva is with regard to children. That's why they see. Before that, there's feeling of maybe my money. That's mine. But when children come, you will give all money for children, isn't it? Because that feeling of mamatva is stronger with regard to children. Wonderful thing. So now with regard to prana also, it is that Brahman which is there behind, making even the prana work. So when we say, I do not have freedom of choice, who is making everything work? The one who is actually propelling everything in the universe is God. That's why throughout the Ramayana, you see Tulsidas, he's telling, all of us are like puppets only in his hand. But in our arrogance and our ego and abhiman and everything, it's like, I am doing, we feel. We should always remind ourselves, we are not doing. He's making everything work like that. Yat pranena na praniti. The double na. Yat pranena na praniti. Yena prana praniyate. Tadeva brahmatvam vidhi. Nedam yadidam upasate. All pranas, pancha pranas working in this body, which you have studied already, those all five pranas, they work only propelled by him, dictated by that reality. Now, when a writer of a script, let's say drama, when that writer writes a script, and then there's director, producer, all the other people now, they start putting everything together. They get this actor will play this part, that actor will do that part, they get the different people to do all the different parts. After the writer has written the script, his work is done, isn't it? Everything there will just now be followed as a matter of course. He doesn't have to again come back and do anything. That thing is already set and all the people will just fall in line and do their respective part. It is as though the master of this universe has all these infinite processes and all things going on in the universe already as part of him. He doesn't have to really come now and make anything happen. Everything is there set in motion. It is part of his being. From that point of view, really, he's not a doer or karta also. The script writer, once script is written, his work is done. So Bhagwan has this whole universe and everything that has happened, is happening and will happen because it is infinite number that is already part of him because he is infinite. So he doesn't have to be any active doer in anything. Everything is already there in as part of him. And do you know, because he's infinite, the possibilities inside God is also infinite. So anything in this universe can happen. All possibilities are already there. So from that point of view, Bhagwan is not karta. What is there to do? Already everything is there in him. You know, there's a most wonderful verse in Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, it says, Na sato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha. If you study this verse, you'll realize, from the absolute point of view, everything is already there in Bhagwan, and Bhagwan doesn't have to get up and plan tomorrow what will happen. If he had to plan what will happen tomorrow, we'd be in trouble. Can you imagine Bhagwan gets up in the morning and says, I wonder what shall I do today? And suppose when he starts doing it, he changes his mind. Every day I've made the sun rise from the east. Maybe today I should make it rise from the west. Can you imagine? So the Lord doesn't have to plan anything. Already what will happen, that is already part of him. So he is again akarta. It is already, everything is set. And because he is infinite and the possibilities are infinite, anything actually could happen. Why sun cannot rise from the west tomorrow? So because you think this little galaxy in which you are living, it is in this way. You think there are other galaxies in which it is in some other way? Not some other way. It can very well be. Huh? In some other galaxy somewhere, it can be going other way. Why has to go this way? Or any particular way? And how many galaxies are there? That are also an infinite number. Huh? Our little sun in this infinite universe is non-existent also. How wonderful is this Lord, and how wonderful is this, his manifestation. So it is there, part of him, infinite possibilities, and it is going on, and he's a karta in the whole thing. And this little BMI which is here, which has prana also as part of it, that is made to function by dint of his greatness and his wish, his will, his power, his majesty is making everything. If the human being thinks deeper and deeper like this, the ego will dissolve. Because right now the ego feels, I am responsible for everything happening. And that ego builds and builds and goes on thinking, you know, I'm so great, I am this, without me this will not happen, that will not happen. And only that gets him tied more and more to the illusory world. And he becomes karta. And he feels he can shake the world. He can make everything happen in this world. And he doesn't realize that he himself is being made to do what he is doing. The delusion thickens and he remains bound forever. Now, in the next chapter, there is this idea throughout the Upanishads and throughout the Vedanta, which says that we should all come to know God. And in all the previous verses, which just preceded there, that one phrase is there. Tad viddhi. Come to know. In Bhagavad Gita also. Tad viddhi pranipatena. Come to know that truth. So we feel that we can come to know the truth Just like we can come to know something in the world, you know? That vidhi, know it. So in the following verses now, it will deal with this thing about knowing God. Can we really come to know God? That is the question now. Can a person come to know God? Well, that is a very big question. Can you hold the earth with your little hand? See the size of this earth. Can you hold the earth? Look where his hand and look where his earth. His hand could never hold the earth. Lift it or grab it and pull it up. That is like trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstring. How you'll do? So we cannot hold, the idea is the hand is too small, it is so limited, and comparatively the earth is so unlimited. In the very same way, this mind, the instrument of knowing, is so limited, and the absolute reality is unlimited. How a limited thing will know the unlimited? That is not possible. So here, the teacher now hastens to warn the Gurudev says, the student. This will be now on page 97, chapter 2. Yadi manyase suvedeti. Da brahmevapi. Nunam tvam vetha. Brahmano rupam. Yadasya tvam yadasya deveshvathat nu. Mimamsyameva. Te manye. Veditam. Yadi manyase suvedeti. What is it? If you think that you have known this God, or you have known reality well, suvedeti means you know it well. Yadi manyase, if you think that you know God well, you better think again. That is the idea. And you know this idea of knowing. Let us just. When you say you know something, right? Let us just analyze that little bit. When I say I know this, right? See this whole matter of knowing, right? In this world, we say that there are things which I know and things which I do not know. Right? First, this classification is there. So I know this. Well, I know you. I know a little bit of mathematics. 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. So there are things which we know. Things which we do not know. For example, I do not know Greek. It is all Greek to me. Then, between the two, which is more? Are there more things which I know or more things which I do not know? The things which we know pales into insignificance in front of the things which I do not know. This side will be so much more. There's so many, as a matter of fact, right now I don't know what is behind me. Isn't it? How many countless things I do not know? In a university, how many departments are there? So many departments will be there. I will be belonging only to one department. It means I know nothing what goes on in the other department. And in my department also, suppose I'm doing PhD in this thing, in one thing. How many countless things there I'm not doing PhD in? I do not know what is going on there. In my own department. Huh? One fellow I just saw, he's doing PhD on cocoa beans. He belongs to botany. So, among all the things in botany, he's studying only cocoa beans. So, there are coffee beans, so many countless beans, which he doesn't know. How many beans are there? So many countless beans, he knows. Nothing, only cocoa bean. So, the things which I know is only... Now, cocoa bean, let us say. right? I studied this one cocoa bean. About that bean also, there will be so many things to know. So about bean, I will perhaps only know genetics. I will not know history of the bean. Where this bean came from, where it started, which country it migrated from, how many things I will not know about that bean also. And one bean has dark brown, one bean is light brown. Why? I don't know. So you go on narrowing down what you really know, you will see that we know nothing. I'm telling the truth. See, even science, right? When it studies, it goes molecules, you go deeper, it goes to atoms, it goes deeper, electrons, protons, neutrons, go deeper, strings and neutrinos, go deeper than that, energy, go deeper than energy, some unified field. Now when you reach to a unified field and you ask, what is that? I don't know. Where is it? I don't know. Why it is happening like this? I don't know. So even the things, and science is like this. Somebody comes this decade and discovers this new thing. And everybody studies. 20 years from now, the whole theory changes. What you thought you knew, in 20 years it? And then you realize, I don't know. This is science. They used to say, light travels in a straight line. When we were studying physics. Now recently, what they're telling? It curves. So if your flashlight can go far enough out, it'll come back and hit you in the back. I thought I knew about light. But I come to realize that I don't know. And what will happen in another 20 years, we don't know. So even what we know, what we think we know, say I made two categories, what we know and what we do not know. Even the first category, that also is not sure. I mean, look here. In this sansar also, we have just shown that we don't know anything. Finite things. So we will know infinite things. We can come to know God. That whole thing is just pointing in one direction. This knowing instrument, either just make it quiet. Just let it dissolve. Because that knowing instrument is what has you in this loop. The knowing instrument is made a puppet out of us. Knowing instrument makes a fool out of us. And we go on. So quieter and quieter, we make it. Quiet means it will dissolve. That is what we have to do. Otherwise, we stick with it. Well, it is like an engine. I am like the buggy. And I keep going with this engine. Wherever it goes, I go. And I'm taken for a ride. As though. So here, the teacher tells, if you think you know, yadi means if. Manyase, you think. Suvedeti, I know it well. It is known well by me. Suvedeti. Well, suveda iti. That is the word. The brahmevapi means I only know. Well, actually, you cannot say I know little bit about it also. This word, there's an dharam, it is another recension of this word. It means I may have a slight inkling about it. Not that I know it. I may have a slight... What inkling? I know that if this effect is there, there has to be a cause. That much I can... What is the nature of the cause? How it works? Why it works? What is this? You know, all that. I really do not know. I have a slight inkling about it. Means little bit I know. Nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam. Brahmano rupam. I see this effect of that reality and I intuit its presence. I knew that it is. It has to be there. Otherwise, this could not be there. If that thing was not there, this could not exist. This effect could not have been here. And it is that reality which is manifesting as all these things which I know, and manifesting as divine bodies also, in divine because sometimes people talk, or the scriptures talk about all divine beings and all such things, na? Deveshu, among the divine things. Mimamsyam eva te manye viditam. It has to be thought of again. So this starts with, I think I know it, and the verse ends with, or the passage ends with, it has to be mimamsyam eva. Mimamsyam eva means, again, I have to try to ascertain. I have to try to understand. If I think I have understood, it means I have not got it. Something is wrong. But again, I have to try to rethink what I think I know. That is the idea. I think I know God. See, this is a very wonderful message to all of us. If I think that I have known God, or I think I have known anything in this world, for sure, the idea is you better start rethinking. Mimamsyam eva. Start to rethink. Oh, the idea is continued now in next verse as well. See. Student. Naham manye suvedeti.
Naham manye suvedeti.
No na vedeti vedacha.
No na vedeti vedacha.
Yo nastad veda tad veda.
Yo nastad veda tad veda.
No na vedeti vedacha.
No na vedeti vedacha.
Naham manye suvedeti. The student, well, I do not think that I know it well. The student says, I do not think that I know God well. No na vedeti vedacha. But not that I do not know. I know. It is just that I do not think that I know it well. That means to say, I am certain that I do not know God well. But I know this much, that He is there. So how He is, and what He is, and what He does, and where He has come from, and all that thing I really cannot. But this much I know, that He is there. That reality has to be there, because if this effect is there, cause has to be there. If I see the dining table set out, I know there has to be somebody who set it out. Otherwise, can you imagine the candle just walk and came there? If you come home and you see a candle walking, you run away from that home, isn't it? So somebody had to set the table. So even though I do not know what that reality is, I know that it is still there. Yo nastad veda. He amongst us who comprehends it as known and not known, He knows. Veda. The person who, and this will be clarified further in the next verse as well, the person who said, see, I really do not know it, but all I can say that I know that it is there. It has to be there. This person was on the right track. That is what it meant. This person is on the right path. If a person chooses either one of the two, which I know it, he's already gone wrong. And the other one, it is not there. Again, he is wrong. That is why, you know, the Buddha always taught the middle path. Let me tell you about this middle path also. It is very important. Buddha only got this from Vedanta only, na? We speak about the middle path profusely in Vedanta and Bhagavad Gita everywhere. Sukha dukhe same kritva. Labha labhav jaya jayav. In between gain and loss. In between sukha and dukha. In between all of these pairs of opposite, he says, same kritva, remaining balance. You're neither on this side nor on that side. Because if you hang on one side, you are one-sided. One-sided person will never reach truth, will never discover truth. Because truth is to be found in the middle. Between the pairs of opposites. So it's the middle part. So here now also, if the person chooses to say, I know it, I know all about Brahman. That person is on one side. If he chooses on the other side now, there is no such thing as Brahman. He's on the other extreme. So he says here, the person who really is going to find this, who is really on the right path, is the person who says, at the same time, I know it, but I also do not know it in its, and that means I know it means I know that it is there, but I do not know it means in its entirety, what it is like. One who treads this middle path, he is eventually going to discover what it is. And when we say discover what it is, means he is eventually going to dissolve his mind. Please remember, this journey is not a journey that you're going to get something in the end. It's a journey that you're going to give your total self. I have to sacrifice my... Kabir Das, he writes nicely, you know, that this truth, he tells at one place, this truth is such that only the one who is prepared to give his head, the one who is prepared to give his head, he will get it. But the one who gives his head, he is dead. Isn't it? What a nice thing he has written there. If you want it, be prepared to give your head. Some people say, oh, Swamiji? No, I don't want it then. I have to give my head? My God. That proposal is too much. Let it be. Let Brahman will be and I will be. You know, human beings, they always want to have the cake and eat the cake. We always want both. This is an amazing thing. And Bhagwan leaves that choice to us as well. Therefore, he tells, you know, yatha ichasi tatha kuru. He tells Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, if you want to keep your head, then you have to keep all the pairs of opposites in this samsara also. One of which is sorrow, which is more in number. Which is more in number, joys or sorrow? Sorrows. Some people say, no, Swamiji. Joy, I'm happy. Life is happy. Yesterday only I showed to you that we don't like to work, we don't like this, we don't like that, we don't like anything in this world. It's all sorrow only. Even if you take one thing, see pain, one pain, huh? And one joy. Your joy of eating laddu, eating jalebi, how long you will eat? See, payasam is there, na? You love payasam. How many cups you will drink? One cup? Two cups, maybe? And how long you take to drink? 1 minute. So your joy will be for 1 minute or 2 minutes. As soon as it passes the tongue, no more joy. Because the only joy you get from payasam is on the tongue. So your joys in this world last 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Sorrow? Pain? Some arthritis? That will go on indefinitely, isn't it? You see, any joy, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Any sorrow? So if you want to keep your head, this is what you will encounter. Well, this is what he means. Only sorrow, one after the next. And they come and seem never to go. Before you can get rid of one, another one comes. That is like relatives. Bapre. Yehi hai samsar. Welcome to samsar. So, you have a choice. Keep your head and keep all of this. Samsar. Oh, give your head. Head means your ego, individuality. Give that individuality, and when we give, then there's no question after that. Who will be there to question anything? So here, what he's telling, if I stay the middle path, then only I will reach there. It becomes even clearer in the next verse. See. Yasya matam tasya matam. Matam yasya na veda saha. Avignyatam vijanatam. Vignyatam avijanatam. Yasya amatam tasya matam. He who understands it, he who feels that he and I understand it, really he does not understand it. The person who thinks that he understands it, because, and see why. The first line, the person who feels that he understands it, he really does not understand. Why? Because who will say that I understand it? A little ego, isn't it? Only a little ego has to be existing to say, I understand it. So if that little ego is there still existing and saying, I understand it, that means that little finite ego, that little individuality, he's still existing. That means that he's still bound. He's still in a feeling of limitation, and he's saying, I understand it and you do not understand it. That means he still has the feeling that there is I and there is you. That is the only way he can say, I understand it. If he really understands it, then there is no little ego left to say, I understand it. That is the idea. So the idea is that next time anybody tells you, oh, I know God, that means he's lying. If anybody in the world says, I know God, that means he's absolutely lying. He cannot really know God. There's only if the ego goes away totally, he merges with God and there's nobody left to say, I know God. Now, you know how you'll test this thing? You know, you have seen the writings of so many Mahatmas. Eh? You have read so many biographies and so many writings of so many great souls. Our Gurudev, Sri Ramana Maharishi, Swami Vivekananda, whoever you have read. Have you ever read the statement of any Mahatma anywhere? That Mahatma has said, I am a realized soul. I know God. Have you ever read that thing? I have never read. I have never heard any Mahatma also say that I am a realized soul or I know God. That's a strange thing or not? Even though we read so much about so many realized souls, we have never read this statement. Because there is no individual ego left there for them to say, I have realized God. Very peculiar absence of statement. It's a very peculiar thing that a statement is absent in the writings of all Mahatmas. And that is because of what the Upanishad is telling. There is no being left to say that. Even though they may write all other things, this statement nobody writes or utters. All right. We'll see then in next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Let me just speak with you one moment about this. I'll put it up on the wall also. Yes, we'll put one here as well. Swamini Vimalananji, who is in Coimbatore in India,